This is 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Well, hello to all of you out there out in the wide reaches of the Midwest. Welcome and hello to the Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us here on this, well, it's kind of a dreary looking Monday out there. I wish I could say it was a great day because somewhere else in town later today, the baseball season starts anew. But I'm sure they're out there having fun right now. And you will have fun right here. Who knows? If they're smart, they're tailgating right now, listening to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. I have exciting people on the program here today. Yes, we're talking about some interesting shows. It's like South Johnson County Theater Day on the Arts Magazine Show. We'll cover two of the shows that are going on in the area right now. The band auction is underway here at KKFI. Go to kkfi.org/band auction, and you can see the first band that will be up for auction tomorrow morning on KKFI. It's an auction. The band will play at your home, at your party, at your place of business, if you get the top bid for auctioning the band. So you want to see what the bands are? And as they say, our friends over at Channel 19 always say, make your first bid your best bid. It won't necessarily be the last bid, but the band auction is very important to the radio station. So give that your consideration. You can have your own concert in your neighborhood. I have a lawyer friend from school who has one almost every summer. They block off the block at two ends, and he has a band concert in his driveway. It's really cool, and you can do that as well. So, band auction tomorrow morning. Here on the show today, several good shows to talk about. Boy, over at the Olathe Civic Theater Association, and hopefully we've gotten their artwork right on the website by now, they are doing the play, The Black Comedy, I might add, God of Carnage, written by Yasmina Riza. Anywhere close to being right on that?
Sounds very good.
Perfect.
It's a black comedy set in the modern day, conflict, how things kind of evolve from one thing to another. And we'll talk with the performers about that today. Then later on in the program, the Leewood Stage Company and their show Promises, Promises. We'll talk all about that as well. But welcome to both of the actors on the show. Barb Nichols, she's been here many times before, usually as a director.
Usually.
But this is like the second or third time in a row you've been here as an actress.
Yes.
Kind of deja vu all over again. Yes, she's most, for the most part, I know her work as a director. She's directed and performed, I guess, at the White Theater, the Barn Players, Theater in the Park, Chestnut. She teaches, or did teach, speech and drama. You still teach in Olathe?
No, I don't.
But she taught in Rochester, Minnesota, or New York?
Minnesota. Minnesota.
And then Olathe as well. She now, I guess this is the third show in a row she's been as a performer.
Second.
Well, second. Was yes. In August, Osage County, and what else? Let me think.
Oh, a long time ago. We're going way back, so we can stop talking about that.
Okay, but again, on the stage as an actress. Trevor French is new to the program. That's a great name, Trevor.
Thank you.
Yeah, you ought to be on Broadway and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with a name like that.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Trevor, he has performed at the White Theater. He has performed with the Barn Players. He has performed with Northland Actors Ensemble. Remember them?
Ages ago.
Yeah,
right.
Of course. And he's with us now, mostly in musicals. At least musicals are his favorite, he said. And has performed also, as you might expect, at Theater in the Park as well. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll come back many, many more times in the future.
Hopefully.
Not necessarily with Barb.
I always enjoy it. It's great to be here.
You are doing a black comedy, the way it's been described. It's called God of Carnage, kind of a modern day disagreement among people that...
Yes.
Well, I should let you explain it.
Okay.
God of Carnage.
God of Carnage. Two couples who have children and their 11-year-old sons have gotten into a fight on the playground, and one damaged the other one's teeth, and they get together to discuss it in an adult you know, reasonable fashion. And as I say, things just sort of deteriorate from there. And they end up not behaving much better than the children on the playground.
Now, were you the mother of the bully?
Well, that's to be...
That's to be determined.
That's an interesting question. Uh-oh. Who is the bully? I'm the mother of the son whose teeth get injured.
Oh, I see.
So I have the strongest agenda, I think, of how the evening's supposed to go.
Well, the court would say you have damages.
I should have some damages coming. Yeah. Yeah. But we all have our own sort of agenda and set of issues and things. The boys sort of become secondary in the show.
Really? Mm-hmm. So it starts out one way, but kind of evolves into other things.
Yes.
As real life really does, Trevor. What character do you play?
My name in the show is Alan Raleigh, and I'm an attorney who's the parent of one of the boys, the boy who hits her son and breaks his teeth. So my wife and I are there to basically kind of see what these folks have up their sleeve and what their intentions are and see how we want to resolve the situation.
Okay, I'm going to sound like an attorney myself, but to set the basis for it, there is an altercation in a public park.
Correct.
What happens to cause this to happen?
Well, that kind of plays itself out in the show. So that's some of the mystery that's kind of underlying, you know, who's at fault, who's not at fault, and kind of what forces some of the denigration that happens during the course of the evening. So I don't want to give away too much with that, but that's what they're there to try to figure out, is who did what to who and what caused it to happen and what actions are they going to take now.
Would it be kind of a mediation session more than anything else?
Kind of starts out that way. And,
yes.
And I think being the attorney character, he's never one to accept blame or say someone should apologize. And then my character, of course, wants to assess blame. And then you kind of find out maybe her son has a part to play in how everything played out. And maybe he's not blameless either. So sometimes I think it's a great lesson in maybe it's not always best to assess blame. It's just figure out how you move forward. But these characters can't quite get past that.
Well, in our society today, blame is a big thing.
It is.
Publicly, you see people apologizing for things all over the place, especially in the last few weeks. Apologize for this, apologize for that. All over the place. Apologies are expected.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with an apology, but I think sometimes you can fixate on finding the blame, which, you know, my character does, and she's not getting anywhere. She's just beating her head against the wall trying to do that.
Yeah. Does it have to do a lot with the parents, their background, things of that nature?
There's a lot of underlying things that come out during the course of the show about all of the characters and their own issues with each other and their own relationships, their own issues with their work lives, and how those kind of intersect with how they raise their kids. There's a lot of very interesting dynamics to this show. It's one of the reasons I like her as a writer. I think she's very intelligent and interesting in the way that she kind of delivers how characters are played out in a conflict situation and how people deal with that when they're faced with it and they can't really escape it. Mm-hmm. So she's very, very clever in how she kind of plays everything out.
Are you familiar with her past works?
I am, yes. I was in Art a couple of years ago, which is another work of hers, and it's three men who are friends and get together to kind of discuss one of the friends buying a very expensive piece of artwork. Completely different show, but it's kind of the same thing. There are conflicts that kind of rise and fall throughout the course of that show. It's very similar to this. Things kind of escalate and decline and escalate and decline and then escalate out of control. So it's very, very well written, in my opinion.
The show is directed by Darren Sextro. I won an award last year for his directing of August Osage County, which Barb, of course, was in.
Yes, he did win an award. He's a great director.
She says with big smile.
We tease him a little bit.
How did he direct you in this show? Did he point you in certain directions?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. He's the reason I think I like working with him as much as I do is because he's very much about helping you kind of discover what the motivations are for these characters by asking very pointed questions about what do you think is driving this? What do you think caused this person to go in this direction as opposed to going in a different direction? And so that's one of the things I love about working with him. He doesn't just kind of say, here, move yourself this way. It's, hey, discover where you need to go for what this character would be doing. So he's well-deserved award.
Yes.
I'll put it
and
that way.
And very detail-oriented. Which yes. I always say God is in the details. So, you know, the little things that the little moments and the little interactions between characters that he likes to discuss and bring out. And I just think that makes a world of difference for the audience and for the actors.
Who brought these two parties together to get them to talk about this? Was this required by the police or the court? Or?
I think the wives probably
okay.
communicated. Wait, that's a good question that we really haven't discussed. But my feeling has always been the wives said we've got to, you know, discuss this, and then the husbands got drug along and are trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, you thought that by talking about it, your character thought that by talking about it, that some resolution can be made. Did you expect the other side to cave in and pay for the damages to the teeth?
I think she thinks they're going to come and admit. Uh-huh. Blame or accept blame and get an apology, which is what she wants, and it does not go that way.
Well, that doesn't happen.
And it's almost, I don't want to say like a mystery, but you were right, she's a masterful writer in that little things get exposed throughout the show that keep changing the prism of how we're viewing the situation and shedding more light on things, and then people react differently because they're either being, it's changing their perception or it's backing them into a corner, and so it just keeps things progressing from there.
And people keep doubling down on their point of view. Maybe not in your show, but in real life I see this all over.
Yes, exactly. They do. Yeah,
absolutely. Very true.
And as a mother of two grown sons, I want to say to my character, just calm down. It's all going to be okay.
That's
but
right.
She can't.
Yeah. Well, telling someone to calm down usually has the opposite effect. It really doesn't. Now, Trevor, does your character look at this maybe at some point, or at the beginning at least, from the legal perspective, him being an attorney, and says, I can't admit anything because that's going to cost me money on down the line.
Yeah, I think he looks at everything in life from a legal perspective. Okay. I think he overanalyzes words and language very carefully, which, because of his background, I think has a tendency to make him very cynical about the approach that people have when they use certain language. So, yeah, I would say that he is looking at it from that perspective, although I think he's fairly, or at least wants to be fairly detached from the situation.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a famous court ruling once? This is rolling around in my head, where the judge said, we're not here to account for blame. We're here to make two sides whole again.
Right.
Somewhere in the legal system that exists.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
That's really the court's function, I guess, just as much as assessing blame, I guess, in a situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But court is not in the picture at this point. It's
no.
just two
right.
parties talking about it and not really a agreeing on things, I guess.
Well, and it's fascinating, too, within the show how I always think of the show Survivor, and I know there's always these alliances that are being formed. I don't watch the show that often, but I remember them saying, well, we formed an alliance with these people. And throughout the course of the show, different people ally with each other, and then that, and then they get pulled apart, and then you find another ally. And so it's kind of interesting, I think, that throughout the whole show, at some point or another, we are all sort of with each other and then fighting each other.
Yeah. Now, people make alliances for what's best for them at the time. And then they change around. In the TV show you mentioned, that happens all the time.
Yes, because you always have your own, what do I want and who's going to get me there?
It's always the personal agenda behind
it.
Exactly.
Yes, there always is a personal agenda behind it. Do the young men appear in the show at all?
They do not.
They do not? They're just talked about?
It's just a four-person show, so yeah, the two couples.
Tell us about your counterparts, your husband, your wife.
Okay.
Well, who plays the role, and what are they like?
So Christina Schaefer plays my wife in the show, and she's probably, from a change dynamic, the most dynamic changer in the show, at least in my view. She comes in, she's a little bit more demure. I think she's more working toward the peaceful resolution piece of it, and I think she denigrates the most in the show. Yeah, she's trying to basically make things right. And so that's kind of where her character kind of fits into the situation, is she's trying to convince her husband to be a part of this resolution as well.
And so she's kind of playing there into what Barb would want. So I would think Barb
to
would
start with.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, she does. I think, yeah, the women kind of see it going one way, and then things change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is it the men that are disagreeing more than the women, or
it bounces back and forth quite a bit throughout the show?
It does. It does.
I see. We're speaking with two of the performers in the Olathe Civic Theater Association. And have they changed the name? Somebody told me once that there were some alterations in that name.
I think it's still called OCTA, Olathe Civic Theater Association.
But their show, God of Carnage, opens up this Friday, the 10th of April at 8 o'clock p.m. Performances continue on Saturday the 11th at 8, a matinee on Sunday afternoon the 12th at 2. Then two more weekends after that, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, at the Olathe Civic Theater, 500 East Lula in Olathe, Kansas. Zip code, if you MapQuest things, 66061. It's also known as the Buddy Rogers Theater, because Buddy Rogers, famous actor, he was in the first Academy Award-winning movie, Wings. And is from Olathe, Kansas.
Yes, and so there's a beautiful big portrait painted of him in the back of the theater. I look at it. Well, we see it every night.
Yes.
And I just think it's charming. It's a lovely picture.
He was married to Mary Pickford. That's another one of his claims to fame, along with being in the first Academy Award nominated or winning movie, I guess, and actually appeared at the Buddy Rogers Theater.
He did. He did. Someone was talking about that. They had a tribute to him, and yeah, I guess he got kind of emotional after they showed some Mary Pickford things. And
oh, well, you sure
so sounds like a really
good spent person. Some time at Pickfair and in his life, but it has a theater named after him in Olathe.
Yes.
And that's where the show God of Carnage will be going on. Barb Nichols is with us, one of the performers in the show. Trevor French, the father of the other boy in the show. So you two are at odds at some times.
We're pretty much
show.
At odds throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
So we don't ally ourselves too often. No.
No.
And I was just going to add on that Greg Butel plays my husband.
Sure. Tell me about his character, how he fits in there.
Where Alan is the lawyer, a little more white collar. My husband's probably a little more blue collar. Distribution kind of service that he owns. And I think he puts on a good show for a while of trying to, you know, be a part of this, but he really doesn't want much to do with it. And
I see.
Finally lets everybody know that.
Oh, yeah. Now, you two performed together in The Allergist's Wife not all that long ago.
That's when I directed in, and he was in, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was in August Osage County, so it's and as was Trevor. So
yeah, I gave the director credit. That was a well done show, an award winning show at the Barn.
It was a wonderful show. I loved doing that show.
I loved
being a part of it. It was a great experience.
A show that also had a lot of conflict between people.
Oh, yes.
A familiar conflict.
I would say,
people.
Dark comedy, very dark, but comedy, and similar to that, you know, to this show where it is supposed to be funny.
Yeah. After going through this experience, do you feel like family should try mediation of perhaps maybe some organized mediation? Perhaps?
I think they would really benefit from a professional mediator.
Yes.
That would be a whole different show and not probably as funny.
Yes.
Is it a situation where it's hard for either side to give in and accept blame? As you said, things keep coming out. Maybe it's impossible to assess blame.
I think that's exactly right. It's impossible to assess blame because, you know, we weren't there and we're taking what the boys say. And as it progresses, you keep finding out a little bit more of the story. And so it's impossible to assess blame.
What do you think the playwright was trying to say to us then, that things are not so clear cut, that that there can't be some adjustments made on all sides?
That's a tough one to answer.
It is. And part of me feels like she's saying that, you know, people who are supposed to be in charge and setting the example are often no better than the children in the playground.
Completely agree with
perhaps
that.
Perhaps at a different level, maybe, of responsibility.
You like to think you are, but oftentimes you just, you know.
Oftentimes as kids, they have their disagreements and fights, but it gets resolved rather quickly. Not so easy with
adults. I think the boys have probably moved on.
Yeah.
You know, they could, the next day, they're probably back at the park playing together, and who cares? And the parents can't let it go.
That's true. Yeah, people can't let go of things. Mm-hmm. And it often refers to other things that have happened in their lives as well. And
right.
Assessing blame, if someone had to, a judge, for instance, if a judge had to assess blame, might be really impossible in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. So many things are happening, of course. What about the four people that are involved in this show? Do the dynamics of on stage affect the dynamics off stage? I've heard actors say that happens.
Yeah, no. We've known each other for many years.
It's a wonderful group. Right before we all walk on stage every night to do the show, we put our hands in and we say, let's go have fun. And we all, I think, respect and enjoy each other immensely.
Absolutely.
Oh, I know a well-known couple here in town that does a lot of theater together. And they're married, and they were telling me one time, as we were driving to your show, we were going over our lines in the car, and before you know it, we were having a real argument.
It's been a smooth, great process.
It really has. Yeah. It really has. Yeah. We all work really well together. I think we all really like what we do, and so it's easy to kind of get really connected really quickly, mm-hmm. I think.
I would think so. Tell me about the season of the lathe. Are they getting towards the end? Does it begin in the summer? Does it begin in the fall? Do we know?
I wish I could answer that. Yeah. I know they're doing a show called the Summerland
Project.
Thank you. I was going to say diary. The Summerland Project. I know next season I will be directing Arcadia there, but that's a ways away. I'm trying to think. I know they're doing Dogfight next year, which is a musical. I can't say all of the shows they're doing.
I can make it easier.
I'm sorry, Akja.
No, that's all right.
Prepared.
We can make this easier for everyone by going to olathetheater.org. That's the same place where you can go perhaps to make plans to attend God of Carnage there as well. Or you can call their hotline number at 913-782-2990. The Buddy Rogers Theater is located at 500 East Lula in Olathe, Kansas. Now, let's see. I'm stretching my memory now. I get off at what exit as I'm going south on I-35? Then Lula is like a block south of that main drag.
135th. If you're coming off of I-35 and you head west. And then Lula, I would say, is a couple of streets south of 135th. It runs parallel to it, and it's maybe another mile off of the exit. Okay. It's an old church. You can't miss it if you're on Lula.
Yeah.
You will see it.
Yeah, I wonder if Buddy Rogers ever attended that church.
Ooh,
we'll never
question.
Know. We'll never know. You want to answer the question now? Okay, what's coming up? You're going to direct Arcadia next year for
at
the
Octa, and it'll be spring of 2016.
What other? You've been all over town.
I'm
going
to do Secret Garden at Theater in the Park this summer. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually in the middle of we had callbacks and castings coming up. So
they
that's
have
be
massive strange. Turnouts for their auditions, don't they?
We had close to 600.
How do you pair that now into a workable cast?
You just start shuffling paper and looking at what you need. And
do they still have the rule in effect that no more than one or two shows can any one person be in?
I think they try to do that. I think you can be in the first and fourth show if you really want to, and if the directors both want people, that's something that can be worked out. But, you know, I think we're all going to get a great cast. There were a lot of talented people came through.
I'll bet. How about Trevor French?
You know, I don't have anything lined up for after this. I am interested in auditioning for The Producers, which is going to be going on at the Barn Players in the fall. So I'm interested in that, but don't really
Bloom
have anything.
Or
no.
Beal Stalker.
Well, I have a dream role, but I don't think I'm going to share it on the radio.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. fun show as well to do.
Oh, absolutely.
You told me earlier you really prefer musicals? You kind of inferred that you preferred musicals.
You know, not necessarily. I love musicals, but I always say sometimes, you know, dessert is wonderful, but sometimes you got to have some meat. So I love plays as well. And there are some musicals that are pretty meaty. So I just like theater, and I like all of it, as I would say normally to most people. But
see, very few people wear a suit to the program. And you did, but I guess you're coming from a real-life job.
Right.
We're glad to have you with us today. The show opens this Friday. It's getting close. The tension is starting to build out at the Buddy Rogers Theater. Opens this Friday, the 10th at 8, Saturday the 11th at 8, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock p.m. I guess on the website it says 4, but you need to correct that to 2 o'clock p.m.
2 o'clock matinees on Sunday.
And the run will be basically for the next 3 weekends as well. All of the tension, all of the underlying simmering, the tension, the thinking, and what will happen.
And the laughter.
And the laughter.
Amongst a lot of seriousness, often laughter does come.
Yes.
Even in real life.
Yeah, it is. There are some funny, funny moments in the show. And I mean, we won't give anything away, but surprising things happen that will make you laugh. And so come on out and see it.
Sure. All in the show God of Carnage, opening this Friday at the Olathe Civic Theater Association. We call it OCTA for short. Again, the number to call for more information, 913-782-2990, or on the web at Olathe Theater, R-E in theater, olathetheater.org. Thanks so much, both of you, for being with us once again. Barb Nichols, an actress this time. Often she'll come to the show as a director, and we'll be directing again. Trevor French, first time here. Hope you'll come back sometime. Get one of those meaty musical roles, perhaps,
right.
talk to you about. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you for
being
you.
With us. Don't forget the band auction. Nothing more the rest of the day. Tomorrow morning, you'll get your chance to bid on your next band and the proceeds. You'll get the band will play a concert for you. If you're the winning bid, wherever you choose, and you'll be the envy of your whole neighborhood or job or whatever for the KKFI band auction. KKFI.org/band auction to get the list of the bands that will be performing and available for bid at that time. After we take our break, we'll be back. We're going to take a short drive over from Olathe to Leawood. It's not that far. And talk to some of the cast from Promises, Promises when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. Ah, 2001 was a simpler time. It marked the debut of The Fast and the Furious, a movie adaptation of a magazine story about LA's street racing scene. Since then, each subsequent installment in the series has become bigger, louder, more absurd, and more profitable. These movies have evolved into over-the-top comic book variations of James Bond flicks. It's best to think of them as science fiction fantasies because everything that happens defies the laws of physics. Vin Diesel, the late Paul Walker, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and the whole gang are back for Furious 7, but this time they're hounded by Jason Statham, who plays an evil super agent. Kurt Russell joins in on the fun as the leader of a secret government agency who gives Diesel carte blanche to do whatever he wants in order to eliminate Statham. The screenplay is terrible, of course, but it doesn't matter. Director James Wan of Saw fame was given a budget in the $200 million range to stage a series of elaborate action scenes, car chases, and explosions, and that's just what he delivers. Think of any action cliche, and then add the phrase, on steroids. It's appropriate that The Rock is one of the Furious stars, because like WWE wrestling, there isn't a believable moment in it, but it's still mindless fun. Also opening this week, Effie Gray is a period drama set in the Victorian age. It tells the true story of the arranged marriage of a renowned art critic and a naive teenager. Elle Fanning and Emma Thompson star, with Thompson providing the screenplay. Riot Club is a British drama about an exclusive all-male club at Oxford populated by rich and rotten rogues who do whatever they wish. Backcountry is a thriller about a couple who go camping only to be hunted by a predatory bear. The 19th annual KC Film Fest runs April 15th through the 19th. More information is available at kcfilmfest.org. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI FM. Freeze Frame!
This week, it's a lively debate over the new Indiana law. Does it protect religious freedom? Or is it a license to discriminate against LGBT people?
I don't think you can dispute the fact that there is an undercurrent of anti-gay bias in these bills.
If you're not protecting people who you think are wrong, you're not doing religious liberty.
I'm Maureen Fiedler.
Tuesday at noon, right before The Jazz Disciple.
The Hollywood Press argues that white actors are now being discriminated against. Find out what Counterspin has to say, Tuesday at 6:30 p.m.
Cities across the country are laying off municipal workers to contract with private for-profit firms to furnish municipal services, encouraged by the American Legislative Exchange Council and other such councils as the Heritage Foundation. Kansas City Councilman John Sharp, a frequent critic of privatization, explains the issue on the All Souls Forum this Wednesday, 6 p.m. right here on KKFI.
This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, host and producer of ArtSpeak Radio, inviting you to tune in to ArtSpeak Radio at our new time, Wednesday at noon to 1 p.m. That's right, from noon to 1 p.m. on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Still getting over that band auction. So excited. Has no effect on this show, of course, but hey, all the band guys come in here and gals in the previous group as well. You get to meet the band. Now, yeah. Everybody wanted to be in a band at some point, you know, whether they admit it or not. And a lot of the guys will also admit they did it for the girls. So, so this is true. But the KKFI band auction continues. Starting up again tomorrow morning for a bid on your favorite band and make your first bid your best bid, as they say at Channel 19. And all the proceeds, of course, go to support community radio, KKFI. We're working to improve things in that way. So welcome back to the show. We're going to journey from Olathe on over to Leawood. So we're maybe a little more upscale. I don't think people are mad at me out there.
No comment.
We're there presenting the musical Promises, Promises. It is a musical based on The Apartment. You remember the movie The Apartment with Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine? Well, this is a musical version of that. In the old days, they used to have musicals on Broadway that they would turn into movies. And these days, they do it just the opposite. Yeah. Coming back. But the show is called Promises, Promises. Mackenzie Zilke is with us. She plays, the Shirley MacLaine role in
the show.
That's
right, Fran Kubelik.
Fran Kubelik. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said it. Welcome to the show. And Jake Wozniak is back with us again. Yeah. He was with us, was that a show at the Barn Players?
It was a couple of years ago for Scrooge the Musical out at Blue Spring City Theater.
That's so, right. So you came a ways... You went from Blue Springs to
Leawood. Yeah, I moved a little southwest of there.
You moved up the economic ladder, perhaps.
Well, I'm not going to touch that.
All my friends in Blue Springs, of course, I often get in trouble as well. Glad to have you back on the show again.
Well, thank you.
As I recall at the time, people were commenting about your wonderful singing voice.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, I try.
Well, this Promises, Promises. Some of the songs, people will say, well, what songs came from that show that I would be familiar with?
Right. Well, it has a lot of hits. The music is all written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David.
Oh,
so
good team.
There are a lot of hits from the show, like I'll Never Fall in Love Again.
Oh, that was from Promises, Promises. Oh, very good.
Yeah. Say a Little Prayer. Uh-huh. House is Not a Home. And Promises, Promises, if anyone knows that song. Miss Warwick did it for a while.
Dionne Warwick? Yes. Yeah. Very good. I didn't realize there were that many.
Yeah. It's
There are quite a few more than that, too, but you'll have to come see it.
If people are not familiar with the storyline of Promises, Promises, or have never seen the movie The Apartment with Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine, and Fred McMurray is in the movie as well.
That's right.
Give us a little one of you. Who would like to give us the rundown on the storyline for Promises, Promises?
I guess that would be me. Okay. So Promises, Promises is about a young up-and-coming accountant at an insurance company called Consolidated Life, and he's looking to move up that corporate ladder. And in order to do so, he kind of compromises a little bit and allows the executives at his office to use his apartment for extramarital affairs.
Uh-huh.
So he's kind of renting out his apartment different nights of the week in order to curry favors with these executives. And eventually it gets worked up to the personnel manager, who wants to take his lady there. And so he ends up getting a promotion. However, twist, the lady that the personnel manager is bringing there is actually the object of his affection. So there gets a little love triangle.
Oh, I bet. Conflicts all the way around. Yeah. Now, you're the Jack Lemmon character,
yes,
in the show?
Yes, I'm Chuck Baxter, or C.C. Baxter.
C.C. Baxter, yeah.
Sometimes says.
In that era, that's what you'd be called.
Right, yeah. Initials, fancy. Yeah, he has.
How does he come to get himself into this situation?
Well,
does he want to please the boss on one hand, but he's really afraid on another level?
Right. Well, his main goal is to just advance through the company.
Whatever happens.
Yeah, and okay. So it kind of happens by chance that he's at a bar one night, and one of the executives finds him and asks to use his apartment, basically. And so then he starts getting calls from all these other executives, and that's how it kind of sneaks up on him. So he doesn't mean for it to happen, but since it works, I think he goes along with it, at least for a while.
Yeah, the young lady is very disappointed in the position she has been in. How did she get herself into this situation?
Ooh, now that is the question, isn't it? I think that, like a lot of this type of situation probably would have been pretty normal back in this era. These young women, you know, having affairs with older married men. And I think that she's just lonely. She just wants to be loved. And so when she finds this executive who says that he loves her, she just kind of goes with it. And, you know, typical things. He says he's going to leave his wife and all that, but of course it never turns out sunshine and rainbows like you want it to. So I think she's just looking for love.
She realistically expect this to work into a loving relationship, or does she realize somewhere in her mind that this is just for now and I'm just letting myself be used?
I think that she likes the idea of this relationship working out. Whether or not deep down she actually thinks that it will, I don't think is really, it's neither here nor there, but the romanticism of it, I think, is very appealing to her.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to give away too much of the storyline, but at some point things develop and she gets extremely depressed about the situation.
Yes,
and needs some help.
That's right. Yes, mm-hmm. She does. Things don't work out necessarily great for her. And so, yeah, I also don't want to give away too much. But yeah, she does get really upset. And kind of the whole second half of the show is kind of building past that. Yeah, that moment.
Does your character, Jake, realize this? Does he feel the need to help her on a person-to-person level? Is he doing it simply to please his supervisor?
Well, yeah, Fran is sort of his big crush at the office. And so we kind of learn that all through Act 1. And then in Act 2, after sort of this terrible event happens, he's sort of put into a caretaking role for her. And so he tries to help her find her happiness again. And, you know, he's trying to always play the balance between serving his boss, who is responsible for his job, and, you know, making the girl he loves happy.
Yeah. So it's an awkward situation for everybody, of course. So speaking with two of the performers in the show, Promises, Promises opens April 16th. At the Leewood Stage Company. Performances continue Friday the 17th, Saturday the 18th. Actually, it looked like there were two performances on Saturday the 18th. Is that correct?
That's right.
One at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and one at 8 o'clock in the evening, followed by a Sunday afternoon performance on the 19th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. At essentially, is this Leewood City Hall, 4800 Town Center Drive? It sounds like it might be.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Do they do all of their midwinter shows? They don't always. It seems to me I saw one at the same location where they have their summer shows. I saw an indoor show there as well.
Yeah, Leewood does three shows a year. One is the big summer show out at the amphitheater, and then we have one at the Lodge, which the Ironwoods Lodge, which is kind of in the park area. And that's usually in the fall. But then the spring show is always at City Hall.
Yeah. Now, Ironwoods Park is quite a way south. But if people shouldn't let that deter them from seeing your show, because it's at the down by the Town Center Plaza shopping area, correct?
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Yeah. And so so go to City Hall. You know how they say you can't fight City Hall? But you can join them. In this instance, 4800 Town Center Drive in Leawood. If you need to MapQuest things, the zip code is 66211. And for more information on this, leawoodstageco.org. On the number to call, I'm assuming is a City Hall number. Well, are they going to be mad at me if I give their city number? All the people calling about water bills and things.
I think it's fine.
913-339-6700, extension 157, and whoever that poor person is, I hope they can field your questions about Promises. Promises opening on April the 16th. We're speaking with Mackenzie Zilke and Jake Wozniak. They're two of the two leads in the show. There is at least one other performer in the show. Is there more in the stage version?
Oh, yeah. It's a fairly decent-sized cast.
Oh, okay.
You know, we have a few other main characters. And
tell us about some of the performers in the show that people might have heard of before.
The personnel manager who kind of runs everything is played by Kip Simmons, local, very talented actor. And then we have a chorus of ladies who do a lot of, it's really cool, all this crazy 60s Burt Bacharach music always has this beautiful ladies chorus kind of background. So we have four very talented singers doing that. Rachel Addock, who was just in a show out at Okta, which I think you were just talking to people from there as well. Jan Lord, local actress, is playing Sheldrake's secretary. She's very funny. Dennis Maddox, who's kind of new to the Kansas City area, but very, very talented actor, plays the doctor who lives next door to Chuck.
Yeah, plays an important part.
Yes.
Yeah. In the show as well. Do you have a musical director helping you through these paces?
Well, Kevin Bogan, actually, our director, does the music as well. He's very, very gifted musically. So we're very fortunate to have someone who kind of can do both sides of that. But then we also have Chris McCoy is doing some choreography for us. And then Corey Childs, who works down at the Arts Asylum, is also kind of assisting with some of the dramatic moments.
And Kevin's done he's done shows all over town. He's directed and performed in shows with Leawood Stage Company before. For instance, he was in fact, he was the lead, as I recall, in Sunday in the Park with George. Seen that famous painting, there's actually a musical about that painting as well. But this is Promises. Fairly decent-sized cast. Is it a big performing space with a lot of seating room?
No, it's a fairly intimate space. Everyone's going to be close to the stage, and you know, you won't ever be far from the action, as they say. And from what I understand, the sound is really full in that area, so
yes.
No one will have trouble hearing.
So reservations are probably of the essence.
Absolutely.
Yes, and you can you get them online as well as by number?
You can buy them at the Parks and Rec desk at the Leawood City Hall, but otherwise the best way to get tickets is to call.
Okay. So we have no choice but to give
you
this
have
number.
No choice.
Even though it's a late.
She's used to it.
Well, it's probably the Parks and Recreation Director, so she has a bone to pick with me. She knows where to find me. It's 913-339-6700, extension 157, probably the biggest extension usage in the city of Leawood. I like to have fun with Leawood. It's a well-to-do community for the most part. And I have friends that live there. Well, so, like to have fun with all of that. The show is Promises. Were any of you, well, you're all so young. Were you familiar with the movie before you got involved with this at all? It doesn't get shown a whole lot anymore.
You know, I was not, but you know, I looked it up when I was auditioning for the show and watched it, and it's actually a great movie. I think it won some Academy Awards.
It did, yeah. It did win some awards.
Yeah.
I recall seeing it years ago. Very sad. So I guess the challenge as a performer is to make that fun for the audience along the way.
Yeah, there are sad moments, but you know, there's always a bright ending, silver lining.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a fun story, you know.
Oh, and those songs. Now, be honest here. Are we familiar with some of those songs? It's not of your era, of course.
Absolutely. I think that the audience is going to recognize a lot of the songs, especially I'll Never Fall in Love Again, Knowing When to Leave, and House is Not a Home. I think that people are going to fall in love with the way that we're doing them.
Well, Bachrach and David were a great songwriting duo, and I heard Mr. Bachrach say in an interview one time that a lot of these songs came from the inside as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know a lot about their lives personally. Mr. Bachrach had a lot of hits to his credit. If he were here, I would like him to tell me how he go about writing a song. That sounds like the most difficult thing in the world. Writing a story would be easier because one thing would follow another. But in a song, the words have to be appropriate. They have to say something appropriate for the story. Mm-hmm. And it has to sound beautiful and harmonize with the music. Did Mr. Bachrach write the music and Mr. David the lyrics? That's the way it worked?
Yeah, for the most part.
For the most part, teams kind of work like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Rodgers and Hart, Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yes.
One thing I'm sort of fallen in love with about Burt Bacharach's music is, you know, he uses a lot of interesting time signatures and key changes that you don't hear very often. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the music you'll hear and you'll instantly think of the 60s mm-hmm. because of, you know, major sevenths and just kind of the chorus ladies singing, you know, the background oohs through a lot of the music. But yeah,
that was pretty, you don't hear that so much today.
No, not in the same way, no.
Yeah, it was kind of a different era in that respect. You know a lot about the timing and all that? Are you the kind of guy who can look at a sheet of music and know exactly how I'm going to do it?
Well, I wouldn't say I know exactly, but I pick up music quickly, I guess.
There's a couple of well-known performers in town, and one of them is a lady, I won't mention her name, doesn't read sheet music at all.
Yeah.
But once she hears the song played and she looks at the words, she knows exactly where to say things. You probably approach it in a different way.
Well, I'm actually, I sort of come from a jazz background, and I learn things better by ear.
Oh.
But, you know, I went to school for music for a while, and I can read music and stuff too. But,
okay.
But yeah.
Do we have perfect pitch?
I have good relative pitch. We'll say that. I think a lot of people can relate. But.
I'm surprised at the performers that will come in and say they have perfect pitch. I would think that would be the most difficult thing you can
yeah,
do.
Especially if the orchestra's flat or something. Always bother you.
Oh, well, I should ask about the accompaniment. You have a musical director, I guess Kevin Bogan, mm-hmm. the director, is the music director. How many pieces in the group? The space is small, I know. So
it is. It's going to be a pretty small kind of jazz combo type thing. Actually, we have our first rehearsal with the orchestra tomorrow, so we'll know specifically more about that then.
I see.
We know Daniel Doss will be playing piano.
Well, you're very lucky. He is an excellent performer.
Yeah.
He traveled around the world with the Addams Family show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ask him about doing the Addams Family in China, for instance. There's some interesting stories he has to tell you. Yes. Well, he's just excellent. You're in great hands with Daniel Doss. He's he's just a wonderful performer, and I assume he'll get the best performance out of you he can. How do you work? I asked him if he read music. What about yourself?
Yeah, actually, I come from a really musical family. My whole family is music teachers, so I read music. I went to actually UMKC at the conservatory. I got my undergrad there. So I have a very, very musical background. I don't have perfect pitch by any stretch, but I have pretty decent relative pitch and I do read music.
I didn't have much of a bio for either one of you. What have people seen you in before around here?
Not a lot recently, but I've worked out at the Chestnut. Last year, about this time, I was doing their Rodgers and Hammerstein review, Climb Every Mountain. And I've worked at the Barn. I did Pippin when they did that. I've done Rent. I did Little Women out at Union Station in 2010. That's been a while. Wow. I'm here, there, and all around. I do a lot more music directing and things like that, too. So I haven't been on stage as much recently.
Sure.
Or behind the scenes.
Because of you, cause you attended the conservatory? You're more in demand?
I don't know about that. I'm just lucky. I'm just lucky to know the people that I know and be able to work with other talented people.
Sure. Sure. Speaking with Mackenzie Zilke and Jake Wozniak, they are in the show Promises, Promises, opening April the 16th at the Leewood Stage Company. For more information, you can go online to leewoodstageco.org or the number to call. She's going to kill me. 913-339-6700, extension 157. She wants your reservation, of course, but if too many of you call all at once, it'll disrupt their entire office down there.
But and, try it anyway.
And I must say, that probably wouldn't, I would get a chuckle out of that. Speaking with the performers, plans for the future. What kinds of roles does Jacob Wozniak look for?
Well, I look for any role that'll take me, but
well, you must have some favorites. Have you done your favorite musical?
Well, last summer I did Hair, which was one of my favorite musicals ever.
That was at the
still
barn?
Is, of course,
at the barn.
At the barn, yes,
sure.
With Phil Keenan and the amazing cast we had.
Yeah.
So I feel really lucky to have gotten so many done already. Up next for me, I have the Full Monty at the Met, just down the street here at
Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. Again, Karen Paisley is a great director and producer.
I'm excited. It's my first show with them, so I'm looking forward to it.
She'll put you to work, but she's a very good director.
Yeah,
she really is. She never gets a really bad review. I've noticed.
That's
not,
good.
Not that I've ever seen. And when I said that when she's here and I say that to her, she kind of looks at me like, well, you don't read enough. But she doesn't really for that. But yeah, you'll probably do a good job in that show, Jen.
Yeah, well, looking forward to it.
What about Mackenzie?
I've also been very fortunate. I've gotten to do a lot of roles that have held a special place in my heart. Obviously, Rent was one of my all-time favorite shows that I've gotten to play Maureen a couple of times, so that's been really great. But up next for me, actually, I'm moving from Kansas City, so this will be my last show here in Kansas City.
Let me guess, New York.
Oh, no, I wish. No, it's going to seem super anticlimactic after that. No, I'm actually moving to Nebraska.
Oh, well, not a whole lot of stage theater. There's probably some. The Omaha Playhouse is very well known.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very well-funded community theater up there.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to you up there. There are things. I kid, of course. There are things going on.
Yeah, it's actually a really hot theater scene. It's up and coming, of course. It's not big like Kansas City, but there are quite a few community and professional theaters popping up there.
Kansas City and actors from back east that come here tell us. They said that they were surprised at the number of opportunities that were here compared to other places. Not as much so as Chicago, for instance, but much more so than St. Louis and other cities along the way. Mm-hmm. Kansas City really has jumped in that regard.
Yeah, it's quite the scene. A lot of people don't give it enough credit, you know, but there are countless numbers of professional houses that do shows regularly all year long.
A lot of equity members reside in this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a growing scene here, and the many theaters that exist are proof of that existence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to seeing you in Promises, Promises, based on the movie The Apartment. So I don't know whether to suggest to the audience that they look at the movie first or what. What would you say?
Depends on if you want to be surprised, I guess. If you like to know what you're walking into, then the movie is great. But if you'd rather be surprised.
Now, am I right about that? Was the movie first, or was there a stage version?
Yes, the movie was first.
Yeah, the movie is from 1960 and won a few Academy Awards. And the musical wasn't made until 1969, actually.
I see.
It was at the Tonys with Hair and all those other big shows from the time.
Don't want to get into this. We don't have enough time, but you were in Hair, and now you're doing the Full Monty. So you're not a shy guy? I have to ask.
No, I'm not too shy.
Okay. That's all we need to say.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us once again. Look forward to seeing you in the future. Jake Wozniak and Mackenzie Zilke, they are the leads in the Leawood Stage Company presentation of Promises, Promises, opening this April the 16th at the Town Center at 4800 Town Center Drive. And I believe that is the Leawood City Hall.
Correct. Building.
Yes, in the Oak Room.
In the Oak Room there, of course. Performances continue the 17th and... two performances on Saturday the 18th, 2 o'clock in the afternoon and 8 o'clock in the evening. And it wraps up on Sunday the 19th with a 2 o'clock matinee in the afternoon at the Leawood City Hall. If you've never been there before, if you've only paid parking tickets there, you can make a more pleasant visit, of course. Opening up Thursday the 16th. Thank you both for being with us. Jacob Wozniak and Mackenzie Zilke, thanks so much for being with us. The band auction continues tomorrow morning. Get a chance to bid on your favorite band. All kinds of genre of music going on. Listen, bid on your favorite band. If you're the top bidder, the band will come, well, wherever you want. I have a friend who does front yard band concerts once a year. Has to get permission from the city, but he's a lawyer, so he raises enough funds he can get that done. But wherever you want, if you own a restaurant or an other kind of establishment, you can have the band play there. And you can raise money for your favorite charity or just for the enjoyment of your family, friends, and neighbors. When you bid on the KKFI band auction, continuing all week long, really, here at KKFI. And go to kkfi.org/band auction to get a lowdown of the bands that are going to be available for bidding, starting once again tomorrow morning. Thanks, both of you, so much for being with us.
Thank you.
The Jazz Insider is next. He has some great music planned. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6. Great jazz. Great blues here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you.